joining our conversation on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast is an old friend, Adam Taliaferro. Adam, how are you? So nice to have you join us. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. I'm doing well. I appreciate you having me. How you been doing?
I'm doing all right. I said that a while back, what was it, a couple weeks ago, maybe three, that there was a great article in the Philadelphia Inquirer that was kind of, God, I couldn't believe how much time has passed since you were at Penn State.
Yeah, you know, myself living through it, it's hard to believe this September it'll be 20 years since my injury.
And, that's what I thought.
Yeah, so we... our foundation, we were planning to have a 20-year gala, which, of course, you know, got canceled due to the pandemic, but we're hoping to reschedule it. But, you know, life has been a blessing ever since.
You've done a lot of great work, and I really do have to start first with our current state of the world, our city, Philadelphia. I know you're in New Jersey. The last 24 hours right in this area, but this whole last week, beginning with what happened with George Floyd in Minneapolis. Just, I guess, two things, Adam. One, as you're watching this, did you see that we were getting as a society to a boiling point?
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's hard to put into words, you know. And you watch the images on TV, and then you see what's going on in Philadelphia, and I think you get to a point where people feel like they're not being seen, like they're not being heard or understood or recognized. And I whenever I see these things going on, I look at myself, and you know, I feel blessed because you know when my injury changed my outlook on life. You know, when I got hurt, I saw the good in a lot of people. People I never met in my life, black, white, Asian, whatever they were, often would just say, "Hey, Adam, we're thinking about you. We're praying for you," and that really makes you see that there's just so many good people. And I think, you know, we're looking at the situation that we're dealing with today. I think that's what people want. They want someone to say, "Hey, you know, we hear your concerns. We understand. We care." And, you know, we're still trying to get to that point as a society. But I'm hoping, you know, everyone, you know, could take a step back and try to look at this thing and work together, because it's not going to just be one race or that's going to get through this. I think it's going to be a collective effort. And I'm hoping we get there at some point. And as we all know, we're not there right now.
Adam, and help me if I don't say this properly, but you're part of the New Jersey General Assembly, correct?
Correct. Yep. I've been in the assembly for about 5 years now.
Right. So I guess you could help some of us, because we say, how can we help? And if you can start in your own community, then little by little, it grows to be something that then helps your state, that then helps your country. How mm-hmm. do you invite people who maybe haven't been involved? Like, where do they begin if they want to get involved in government or nonprofits? I don't know where to direct.
Yeah, you know, I'm in a really interesting position because I chair our Law and Public Safety Committee in the General Assembly. So I have, you know, great opportunities to connect with our law enforcement community. And I think, you know, when people ask, you know, where does this start? I think the one thing is just going to your local town hall meetings, you know, getting to know your locally elected officials. You know, in New Jersey, we have at the county level, we have freeholders, and then even at the, you know, up to the state level where I'm at, we all have local district offices. So just getting to know your elected officials, knowing what they're about, knowing what the priorities are, sharing what your priorities are as a constituent of many of these elected officials, I think is the best way to start. Because I come across a lot of different people and they say, you know what, I feel like our elected officials just aren't listening to us. And I often say, have you had a conversation? Have you had the opportunity to sit down or talk to one of your elected officials over the phone? They often say no. And that's where I say, that's where it starts. It's just that outreach to your elected officials and your policymakers to help them hear from you, because we're all, you know, certainly here in Jersey, we're all what we call citizen legislators. So we all have full-time jobs outside of our work in the legislature. And our biggest thing is hearing from the public, and that helps us craft our policy. So I'm often a proponent of, you know, reaching out, going to local district offices, or even reaching out via social media. We all have social media pages that we check or our staff check, and that's a great way to get connected with your folks that are really making decisions that affect your everyday life.
All right, that's important. Thank you for that part. The other thing I noticed in Camden yesterday, they had police officers that marched in what turned out, at least to the point that I had seen, a peaceful protest. Are there things, and I believe I read, and it could have been a couple of years ago, but just the effort in Camden in particular, I know that's not where you live, but I'm sure you pay attention to it, but it does seem like they've made some really good strides with their police officers and their community.
When you look at the, just from a statistical perspective, you look, you know, how crime has dropped there and the countywide police force there has been really something to be an example that we can all learn from throughout the state. And I think what I've seen there is that their law enforcement community has really done a great job with connecting with the community as a whole. And I tell people all the time, you know, in my role in the legislature, I've had the great opportunity to, you know, really get a better understanding of the law enforcement community. And, they work hard to protect us. And there's some really great men and women that wear that uniform and do things that none of us, I know me certainly, would not be willing to do on a day-to-day basis, you know, putting your life on the line to help each and every one of us. And I think from our perspective, it's just really connecting with the law enforcement community and letting them hear from us and vice versa. And again, I said it, you know, a little bit earlier, but I think it just starts with that conversation, whether it's sitting around a table. You know, I think about people like Malcolm Jenkins and some of the professional athletes who have started those dialogues with the law enforcement community to create that connectivity. Because I think, you know, when I'm thinking about the African-American community, you think of your interaction with law enforcement community, the law enforcement community, is only when something's going wrong. You know, when can we start those interactions on, or, you know, whether it's at basketball games, different things like that. And like I said, I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I think there's a lot of smart people out there that are already having those conversations.
I'm glad you brought up Malcolm Jenkins, and just thinking about over the last week for sure, the number of athletes that have gone to social media to really speak, and that has not always been the case. I think people have wanted more, and I don't know that it's right to demand more, but I do understand that they see professional athletes as people who have a following. Obviously, they have people who listen to them, so they have a platform. Have you noticed, and I pointed out just one that was in particular to me because she plays in the WNBA and was from this area, Natasha Cloud, wrote an excellent article on the Players Tribune 2 days ago. Watching Steven Jackson, I thought his speaking the other day in Minneapolis was amazing. Have you seen some of these athletes, and do you think because one has done it, you know, not anyone in particular, but that they are following the lead because more are willing now, it seems, to take a stand?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, dude. I think that's helpful. You know, you think, you know, about all the young people that look up to these athletes, and they look to athletes during difficult times to see how they're reacting and what they have to say about these different things. And their voices could be a beacon of hope and inspiration for I think a lot of people who may be feeling lost right now. So I really applaud those that have come out and said their piece. And I was even looking at something earlier. There's a wide receiver from the Oakland Raiders. I forget his name is escaping me, but
Zay Jones.
He talked about the story where he interacted with a woman in a retail store, and she said, you know, I care about you, and he shared that story, and it was just so touching to hear just you know, his perspective and how that really just impacted him, just from a conversation of a black guy with an older white woman talking about how they connected over just saying how they care about each other. So I think those things really can go a long, long way during these difficult times.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to some, because before this week, the biggest thing on most of our minds was coronavirus, and we have been shut in since mid-March, and little by little, people are trying to reopen their states. And it's totally taken out the sports world. We'll see what happens when we get team sports back. I know golf is coming back shortly. Mm-hmm. But college football in particular, this is going to be a big. Does your gut tell you one way or the other if we'll see college football in the fall? Or maybe it has to get moved, but do you think we'll see college football this year?
I think maybe it's just because of my love for college football, my unwavering optimism, but I do believe we're going to see it. You know, I'm a little bit worried, But I think at some point, I don't know if it's going to be in September or the season's going to start a little bit later. I have faith that there is going to be a football season. I think it's going to be a little bit different, you know, as it pertains to the fans in the stands. I think, you know, I went to Penn State. I think, you know, we've got 107,000 people that can fit into a stadium. I don't think we'd be quite there to have a full capacity stadium early in the fall, but I am hopeful that we'll have the season. But there are some issues. I know Penn State's first game was against, I believe, San Jose State, and they had already announced that they're not, you know, having any school in the fall semester. So it's just a lot of tricky circumstances we're going to have to work around. But I remain hopeful that our, you know, for me personally, that my Nittany Lions will be playing on the gridiron this fall.
Can I ask you how often you get to go back to a game? Does your schedule permit?
Yeah, and you could probably see this one, but prior to having kids, my son is five. I would go. I literally would probably be at every. I was at every home game.
Wow!
And then when my 5 year old came, and I have a 2 year old daughter now. Since they came, I haven't been to a game in 5 years.
My goodness.
It is embarrassing to say, but, you know, Coach Franklin has been fantastic. He has me. I've been up there to, you know, speak to the team over the summer a couple of times. And I've come when Penn State plays down here in Jersey, when they play Rutgers or, you know, Maryland, I'm able to get to some of the more local games. But ironically, I was supposed to, because it's the 20-year anniversary of my injury, we were supposed to be doing a, you know, 20-year anniversary type thing at the Ohio State game this year. So I'm not sure if that's still going to happen or not, but I was planning on going back for the first time and bringing my kids up there for the first time this year. So we were looking forward to that.
Since you brought up Coach Franklin, there was a really good article in the Philadelphia Inquirer today where he had kind of, I mean, he's really concerned for not just society, but like the guys that he coaches and their opportunity. He's like, these are our doctors, our teachers, our, you know, people of our future. I thought he was excellent in today's paper as well. I don't know if you got a chance to see that, but.
I did. I had an opportunity to read the piece that he put together. And I think that just speaks volumes about, you know, the person Coach Franklin is and his true compassion about this issue. And, you know, that's the thing that I think really draws a lot of players to play for Coach Franklin, because he's a guy that, you know, a lot of players can relate to. You know, he was a former player himself. And it's just really, you know, as we had talked about earlier, it's just really cool to see how everyone's really putting themselves out there during this difficult time. I know even the Penn State baseball coach, I know Coach Chambers has spoken up for the basketball side, and even the baseball coach had decided, I forget the Greg, Mr. Floyd, who, you know, unfortunately passed away. I forget what number he wore in either high school or college, but they have retired that number.
Number five. Yep.
And then, you know, no one on the baseball team is going to wear number five this year. So it's just, like I said,
that's a good community.
It's a really neat thing to see that people are really coming together during these difficult times.
Which, Adam, really to the university, I mean, they went through some tough times, you know, not that far back. For them to now have people that are coming together as a community in, again, another tough time, that's refreshing in a little bit of its own way.
Yeah, that's, you know, Penn State is a very close-knit, tight-knit community up there, and, you know, people really stick together. And as you said, we went through some really difficult times a few years ago, and I think a lot of people looked inward and realized, you know, there's some things that are, you know, bigger than sports, and, you know, if we can all come together, we can get through a lot of different things. And you know, the Penn State community continues to do that. And I always tell people, as I mentioned, when I think about myself and my injury and the way that people came together to help me get through some of the most difficult of times, I often say we can get through things that our minds really don't think we can get through if we have the collective unit of people pushing us through these hard times. And that really gives me, it renews my faith every time I see it happen. And, you know, for me, it's been 20 years, and I say it's been an example in my own life that there's people that can help you, you know, get through some really, really tough, bad things when, you know, throughout life.
Adam, I'm just curious. I've never asked you this because I know you so loved your football and you were so great. But from a athletic standpoint, is there anything that you have been able to fill that kind of competitive or from a hobby standpoint in post football and post rehab and all of that?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because that's, you know, I get asked that question sometimes. I always say there's nothing, you know, I've tried to find different things, but there's nothing in my life that I feel will ever fill that void of football. It was a passion of mine. It was, you know, I loved you know, going to the gym to work out, the practice. I just loved every aspect of it. And, you know, the thing that I really has been my biggest challenge that keeps me going is, you know, the family life now, you know,
right.
my kids, my injury, I thank God that I can walk, but I can no longer run due to my injury. And my little kids know that. So they'll run away from me. So my goal now is just to be able to catch up with a 5 and 2 year old, which is, they're already faster than me. So that's
your challenge.
That's my challenge. And I have to say, you know, public service, you know, being in the legislature.
Sure.
Allows me to get back a little bit to the community. You know, I've been a person that's been blessed, that have been given so much throughout life, and being able to give back my own little way, and serving in public service has been a blessing to me. And it really fulfills that, you know, need to really be involved. And it's been a great, great outlet for me.
And my last thing before I let you go, Adam, you do have a foundation. Just tell people, in case they want to get involved with the foundation, how they could do that.
Yeah, you know, the foundation is called the Adam Talaferro Foundation. It was created about 20 years ago to help me with my, at one point they thought I'd never walk again. And the foundation is created to help those like myself. It's led by Tom Micophone, who's our president. And, you know, talaferrofoundation.org. is where you guys can find us. And of course, on anyone on social media, you know, the Talaferro Foundation on Twitter or Facebook. And, you know, like I said, we're in the process of rescheduling our 20th anniversary gala, but we'll be getting out more information on that. And we'd love to, you know, have the support from the community. And we're just so thankful. It's an entirely volunteer organization, and every dollar we raise goes to helping people with spinal cord injuries or other catastrophic injuries get back to their lives.
Adam, it's been really good catching up with you. I so appreciate your time and your thoughts. And you know what? One thing I know I took from this, I'm going to get to know my local constituents, or if that's the right word. I'm gonna do a better job of knowing who they are and what they're doing.
That would be great, Dean. I can't thank you enough for having me. And I miss seeing you.
I'm a
big Sixers fan, and looking forward to getting back to some hoops again.
Absolutely. I'll make sure that I stay in touch. Adam, I appreciate your time so much. Thank you. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.